Well, church, if you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the book of Acts. We're in the book of Acts this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. I've entitled the sermon, The Story Continues. The story continues. We'll be looking at Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. On Good Friday, it seemed like the story was over. Jesus, who healed blind men, who healed people with leprosy, who healed people with all kinds of diseases. Jesus, who cast out demons with a word, who raised the dead back to life. Jesus on Friday was lifeless. His body was beaten, bloodied. His skin was shredded from the whips. His hands and his feet were pierced through. He was stabbed with a spear. And this one who brought so much hope and promise now lies cold and dead and in the tomb. You can imagine the emotion of his followers: anger, frustration, fear. They walked with this man for 3 years and it's over. It was hard to make sense of it all. He said a lot of things and now he's dead. From the time of his burial on Friday till Sunday morning, it seemed like the story was over. But Sunday came. But early Sunday morning came. Luke 24 writes, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, the women. They took spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. And we went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while the women were perplexed about this, two men stood by them, dazzling in peril, these angels. And the women were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise.' And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest." The story wasn't over. It was all part of the plan of God from all eternity. Jesus' death was not an accident. His death was an atonement. His atonement for my sin, for your sin. It was an atonement to secure our eternal life, an atonement that we could have an intimate, eternal relationship with the God of the universe. Jesus was risen. And because he was risen, God was showing that he was pleased with Jesus' work on the cross. The story wasn't over. The price was paid for our sins. It was paid in full. And now after the resurrection, all authority has been given to Jesus on heaven and earth. He is the highly exalted and reigning king even now. And he is a king who sends his people out who have experienced this living hope, who have had encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has changed them. And he sends us out to offer this living hope to a world who desperately needs it. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus sets in motion the next phase of Jesus' rescue mission. In this phase of this story, Jesus empowers people like you and me to be his witnesses. We are to be ambassadors for his kingdom on a rescue mission. We are ambassadors of his grace and truth. We are called to tell people to know and understand this Jesus, who is the Christ, the one who lived, the one who died, and the one who rose again. There's no one like him. He is the Lord. He is the one in which every knee will bow. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. He is the king. And we are to call people to surrender their lives to him, to receive the grace and mercy that he freely offers, and live this life empowered by him to discover how we were truly made to live. The story continues. The story continues, and you can be a part of what Jesus is doing today. In a world that is dying, deceived, and hopeless, you can be a vessel of His grace, truth, and hope. The story continues because Jesus is risen. The story continues because Jesus is risen. If you have your scriptures open, look at Acts 1. We'll begin at verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up, after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. To them He presented Himself alive after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The story continues because Jesus is risen. Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, begins by reminding Theophilus of this, of his first book. Not only did Luke write Acts, he wrote a book called The Gospel According to Luke. If you've never read that gospel during this time of isolation and this time where we have extra time to read, read through Luke. Luke is a physician, so the details and the historical accuracy really matter to him. And he tells all kinds of details of places and names and all kinds of stuff. He gives a wonderful account of the life and ministry of Jesus. And in this book, as the book of Acts, Luke was a partner on the missionary journeys of Paul. So this book tells of the continuing story, the continuing ministry of Jesus through the life of His apostles. It's the telling of Jesus who sends His Spirit, empowers His people, and takes the gospel to the world. So take time this week. Read Luke, read Acts, and see how the story continues. The story of Christ's rescue mission continues because He is risen. The apostles were convinced of this fact. Luke writes that after the resurrection, Jesus presented Himself alive after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. When Jesus rose from the dead, He just didn't show up one time. He just didn't show up two times. He showed up to women. He showed up to the disciples. He showed up to a group of 500 people, it says in 1 Corinthians 15. And He did this over a period of 40 days. And when He showed up, He talked with them. He reminded them of all His teachings. You could touch Jesus. Jesus would take food and eat it. He was real. He was not a ghost. As 1 John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon and touched concerning the word of life. Life was made manifest. We have seen it and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life. He's talking of Jesus. He saw Him alive. He saw Him dead. He saw Him resurrected. These people were convinced. They were convinced that this man who was brutally tortured, brutally crucified, was now raised and glorified. The story continues because Jesus is risen. These men and women were so convinced that Jesus was alive, they were willing to go throughout all the Roman Empire, telling the story of Christ, saying that He is Lord, not Caesar. Christ is Lord, and people need to repent. People need to believe in Him, knowing that kind of message would get them arrested and killed. But these weak men were empowered lions. They didn't fear death no more. They didn't need to. They belonged to the One who defeated death. And if they were united to Him, they would reign and live with Him forever as well. The story continues because Jesus is risen. The story also continues because we are empowered to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have been empowered to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. It continues in verse 4 in Acts. It says, "And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples were hopeful that the nation of Israel would be restored to its own sovereign power as a nation. They desired to be freed from the yoke of the Romans and have protection from any outside enemies. But Jesus reminded them that that kind of thing, that's on the Father's timing. That's on the Father's timing. But for now, for them and for us, we're on a mission to rescue and redeem people who are lost from all over this world. Right now, the concern's not only for Israel. He says it's for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. People need to hear the glorious news of the gospel, of what Jesus did, of what he accomplished, that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that he is the one who can give everlasting life. They need to hear the answer to sin and death. They need to hear the answer of guilt and shame. They need to hear about the sovereign King who came and dwelt among us and went to a cross to secure our salvation. Jesus says to the apostles and says to us, I need you guys to go out in the world, but you're not going to do this on your own strength. Don't worry, this is not on your own strength. You will do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite of God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Think about Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. He was scared of a little teenage girl who asked him, aren't you one of those who walk with Jesus? And he was afraid. And after the resurrection, after he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, he becomes bold as a lion. And he preaches to thousands on the day of Pentecost, calling people to repent, saying, you crucified this man. He's now raised. You need to repent and believe in him, every one of you. And thousands of people came to faith that day. They were radically changed. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. In a matter of time, the whole Roman Empire becomes Christianized. These men and women who walked with Jesus were just like you and me. Not much education, not much influence, no threatening weapons, but by the power and love of the Holy Spirit, they went into the world calling people to believe in Jesus, and things were radically changed. The story continues because God's people are empowered to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for those who are suffering and persecuting for the names of Christ. Pray for yourself to be empowered to take the truth of the gospel to your neighbors, to those around you, to the world that you influence. Pray that the Spirit would use you, give you words to say. You can't change people's hearts. You just share the love and truth of Jesus, the story of Jesus. Let the Spirit do his work. The story continues because we're empowered by Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And lastly, the story continues because he's the reigning king who's coming back. Jesus is the reigning king who's coming back. Look at verse 9. And when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. A cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, 2 men stood by them in white robes. And said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The story continues because Jesus is the reigning king who will come back. Jesus is alive. And in this chapter of the story of redemption, he's ruling and reigning from his throne in heaven. This event of Jesus' life is his ascension. It's him taking his rightful throne. It's his coronation. He is the God-man who is the Messiah. Paul writes about this in the book of Philippians. He says in Philippians 2, he says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He made himself nothing, made himself a servant to where he would go to the point of death, to death on the cross. Because of all of that work, his life and his death of humiliation, God has now highly exalted him. He has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and under the earth. Because of Jesus' great work of humiliation, now he is the great exalted king. There is no one like him. He is first and last. He's Alpha, Omega. He's beginning and he was alive and is dead, and he has the keys of death and Hades. And all people should bow to him. Daniel writes about this in Daniel 7. He has this vision. He says, behold, with the clouds of heaven. Remember, Jesus is taken up in the clouds. He has this vision. In the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he approaches the Ancient of Days. And to this person was given a dominion, glory, a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom shall not be destroyed. He's a ruling and reigning king. Remember, he told Pilate, I am king, but my kingdom's not of this world. It's an eternal reigning kingdom, and no one can destroy it. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, Jesus must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and reigning. And the story continues. Nations and kingdoms have come and gone over these thousands of years. But Jesus' kingdom remains. His church still remains and is growing and filling the earth. It's the story of all eternity. It's the story of God rescuing and redeeming his people down through the ages. Today, all these countries and kingdoms, they thought they were pretty powerful with all their weapons, with all their technologies, with all their wealth. And God uses a tiny microscopic virus to paralyze the world and get our attention. There's so many idols that we've been clinging to, our power, our pride, our wealth, thinking we're okay. Thinking there's nothing really to fear, that in our time that we're seeing such sinful behavior in our countries that we've gotten to the point where we don't even call it sin. We're very, very foolish. With this virus, we're learning how fragile we are, how weak of a people we are, and death can be right at the door. God is getting our attention. And this is all happening in God's providence around the Easter season. God is saying, in this weakness, in this realization, God is saying, look to my Son. Turn to my Son. I have given you the way. I have given you the answer to death. It's all been done for you in Christ. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn from your idols. Cast yourself upon him. He is your hope for all eternity. As Paul says in Acts 17, he says, God commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn from their pride, to turn from their idols, to turn from their sins, because he's fixed a day. He's fixed a day, beloved, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is risen. He is reigning and he's returning. And he's coming to judge the world. The story continues. He's the reigning king who is coming back. Are you ready to stand before him? When you think of Jesus, do you mock him? Is he a joke of history? Or is the Spirit of God working on you? And you're like the thief on the cross who's crucified right beside Jesus, who understood he deserved death. He deserved judgment. Jesus didn't. He was the sinless one. He understood that he had nothing to bring to Jesus. There's nothing for him to merit salvation. There's nothing there. He's just there naked, crucified on the cross as a criminal, this thief. And he knows somehow, in some way, Jesus is dying to atone, to save him. He just cries out as a beggar, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Save me." Is the Spirit of God working on you today that you may see Jesus crucified and risen, the Lord of all glory, the one who promises hope and eternal life? Trust him today. Trust him today. Many of you listening today already believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've experienced that power and his hope. Praise him all the more. The story continues. For you who don't know him yet, I pray that the Spirit is working on you. Jesus says, "Taste and see, for I am good." Only he satisfies. Only he can atone for your sins. Only he can give you eternal life. The resurrection ascension of Jesus sets in motion the next phase of Jesus' rescue mission. He's empowering people like you and me to be his witnesses, his ambassadors on this rescue mission. Call the world to recognize this one who lived, died, and is risen again. The one in which every knee will bow someday. Call people to bow to him now as their creator, as their redeemer, as their king. The story continues. You can be a part of what Jesus is doing today. In a world that is dying, deceived, and hopeless, especially in this pandemic, be a vessel of grace, truth, and hope. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. As Peter said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me pray. Jesus, make this real to all of our hearts, to every person who hears this. Holy Spirit, take our hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh to be honest, to confess that we are sinful, rebellious people, desperately in need of a Savior. Lord, help us to know that it is finished, that it is paid in full, that you are our sacrifice, that you are our Redeemer, that you are the one who can take us all the way home to heaven. Lord, give your people peace of salvation. Empower them. Empower to live as your believers, as your followers, in a way that is honoring to you, showing people much grace, much love, much forgiveness, much truth, standing for justice, and yet with a heavy hand of mercy. Lord, as we call people to repentance, build your kingdom, build your church. Risen Lord, risen Savior, we pray. Amen.